Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. You can have a seat today. Get your Bibles out and go with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter number 12. We're going to be in verse number 12 and verse number 13. Today, I want to talk to you about a subject that's called the path to a healthy life. Now, I got to talk to you about that title for a second, because this is not talking about things in the natural. Most of us have heard a healthy life and healthy lifestyle. Those are kind of buzzwords in our time and in our age nowadays. Talking about our diet, talking about our exercise, talking about mental health and the things that we can do to be strong. Lots of people trying to do life hacks and those sorts of things to have a healthy life, a stress-free life, all that kind of a thing. But really, when we approach the Word of God, we find out that our salvation goes beyond just the natural. When God saved us, He saved the whole man. Body, soul, and spirit. Your entire person is saved. In fact, the Bible says that your spirit is born again, that you are a new person. You are a new creation in Christ. You are something original now. God has created you brand new on the inside. Your mind is being renewed day by day. That's why we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so our minds are being renewed, and the Bible says that our body is being renewed, that physically God has saved the whole man, and that our salvation includes all areas of our life. God wants your checkbook to be saved. God wants your neighborhood. God wants your home to be saved. God wants your car to be saved. God wants every part of your life, everything that's involving you, to be healthy and whole. And so when I say the path to a healthy life, and when we look in these verses, we're going to find out that it's not just a physical thing that we're talking about, but it's a spiritual thing, it's a mental thing, it's an emotional thing. It's every area of our life. Hebrews the 12th chapter, starting in verse number 12, says, "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." Now remember, the "therefore" is there for a reason. In other words, because of what I just talked about. Well, what did we just read in the book of Hebrews? We were talking about the discipline of God. Is that right? Hebrews, the 12th chapter came along. We were talking about running the race, and that when we get off course, that God will start to discipline us. God will start to correct our action and our direction. God will start to teach us and to show us through different things, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, through adversity and trials in life, that there will be things that will speak to us and God will use in order to get us back on track with Him. Now, therefore, because of the discipline of God, look at what it says. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Now, last time we were together, Pastor Luke brought a great message about being resilient, that no matter what life throws at us, we are supposed to bounce back. But I want you to notice it doesn't stop there, that it goes on in verse number 13 and it says, and. So not only strengthen the hands which hang down, not only strengthen the feeble knees, but it says to make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. See, God wants your whole person to be healed. God does not want you to get discouraged or weary in the process of discipline. When where we were weak, God wants us to be strong. And those weak areas of our life where we are undisciplined, God says, I want you to strengthen those things. In other words, start to strengthen the hands which hang down, those hands which have been lax, those hands which have not done anything. I want you to start moving, start doing activity with them. I want you to start reaching out to other people. I want you to start building the kingdom of God. I want you to start lifting up those hands in praise and worship to God. I want you to start using your hands again. And you remember he said, the knees are the strongest part. That's the strength of the body right here. Don't live with your back, lift with your knees, right? Because there's more strength there. Anytime you start talking to a Christian and you say, Christian, hit your knees, what are you talking about? Prayer, right? See, we need to make sure that we lift up the hands, that we do the works of God, but also that we're connecting with God in prayer, and that the strength of our life does not get weak. We don't let up. We don't relax. We don't stop. We got to get in the face of God. We got to get in the presence of God, and we are strong when we are on our knees. We are strong when we're connecting with God in prayer. We are strong when we start to receive the strength of God in prayer. And then he comes along and he says, and make straight paths for your feet. Now that word straight path really talks about a channel. It's like something that's been worn out over time. We could go to any of the mountains in the surrounding areas. San Bernardino Mountains are gorgeous. They're beautiful. Many trails that go in different places. And let's say we wanted to go up to the summit of San Gregorio. Now we could just charge straight up the mountain. Is that right? We could just blaze our own trail and kind of just make it up as we go. But how many of you know you might twist an ankle or two on the way up because you might encounter some things that you didn't expect. There might be some pitfalls. There might be some things along the way. You might encounter a mountain lion or a bear or something like that on the way up. And so you don't really want to just charge straight up, but you might want to find a well-worn path. And as you stay on trail, you'll make it there faster, and you'll make it there in one piece. And that's really what it's saying. It's saying, I want you to make straight paths. I want you to find the well-worn path. I want you to find the avenue that will take you where God is leading you. And he says, that which is lame may not be turned away, that it may not hang down. It won't be limp, right? There are things in our life which hang down. There are things in our life which God is disciplining us in. And if we continue to stay off trail, if your foot is tore up and you continue to stay off trail and you're not on the smooth path, it's going to continue to be tore up. But if you can exercise your faith, if you can walk in love, if you can go in the direction God has for you, you will start to receive strength and the muscles will start to be increased and you will start to be strong and effective traveling the road that God has for you. And he says, that which is lame may not be turned away, but rather be healed. Now, the shortest distance between two points we learned in school is what? I'm sorry, I forgot we were in the California education system. It's a straight line, okay? It's the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, okay? So I'll just give you the answer, okay? Let's try that again. Shortest distance between two points is what? A straight line, right? So he says, I want you to make straight paths for your feet. Think about it this way. If we were at home and we had the paper delivered to our house every day, right? And so little paper boy has a route, right? And he's delivering the paper. He's throwing it on our doorstep every day. Every morning we open the door and we come out and there's the paper. We pick it up and we go and we read the newspaper, right? Okay, so let's say that that delivery boy, he graduates high school and he gets out and gets a job. And so he's no longer doing it. There's a new kid on the paper route now. And rather than throw the newspaper up to our doorstep, he just drops it right there at the edge of our lawn. You come out in the morning, you look down, you say, where's my paper? And you look up and you see the paper. What are you going to do? You're going to walk straight across your yard, go pick up the paper, turn around, and walk straight back to your door and go back inside. Now, let's say day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, the same thing. Kid's just lazy. He doesn't want to throw it. He doesn't got the good arm. So what does he do? He just drops it there at the edge of your yard. And every morning, you open the door, and you look out, and you're frustrated, and you walk straight across. You go and you grab it, you pick it up, and you walk straight back. After a while, what's going to happen to your grass? You're going to have a path, right? It's going to be a straight line straight from your door to the place where you pick up your paper and then back, right? It'll be just a well-worn path. It'll be a straight path. See, God wants to straighten out our lives. God wants us to get in line with His Word. And God wants us to be strong, healthy, and effective Christians. And there are routines, there are healthy habits that we can incorporate into our lives that will keep us on the right way. Are you listening today? See, there are disciplines, things like praising God, things like gathering together in church, right? That which is lame may not be dislocated. There are people who only show up to church once every 3 weeks or once a month or something like that. And listen, that should not be. Why? Because you're going to be weak and ineffective without the corporate gathering of the body of Christ. You need to get around faith-filled people. You need to be encouraged. You need to worship the Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Every day you can do that. Wherever you're at, doesn't have to be in church. You can do that in the car. Well, you got to keep your hands on the wheel. So maybe just one hand, don't do the Jesus take the wheel thing. That might end up bad because, he may say, no, you got it. You're good there. So keep driving. But every day you can discipline yourself to make that well-worn path in prayer. Every day you can get into the Word of God. There are healthy things that God has outlined for us in His Word, healthy habits and routines that we can incorporate into our lives that will keep us going on the straight and narrow path that God has called us to. Amen. See, the quickest way to go from an ineffective, disobedient child to becoming a healthy Christian is to shape up and to follow the way of the Lord. So today I want to outline some paths that God has given to us in His Word that will help you to make those straight paths for your feet. Some things that we can do that will be a pathway to a healthy Christian life. You ready for them?
Yeah.
First one is remove your foot from evil. In other words, if we're going to get our feet on the straight path, we got to get our foot off the crooked path. Are you listening? I was out on a hike one time and I knew I needed to go east. And so I kept heading down this path and it wasn't taking me east. And so I started to try and find another path that would take me. See, if you're going to be going in God's direction, you got to find the path that leads to where he wants you to be. And in order to get on the straight path, you got to take your foot off the crooked path. Now, the world would have us to think that it's okay to do whatever we want to do. Whatever feels good, just do that. That's good. That's fine. But listen, God does not say whatever you want to do, just do that. God outlines for us in his word what is right and what is wrong. God is the one who decides what is good and what is evil. And therefore, we need to remove our foot from evil. Doesn't matter if it's popular. Doesn't matter. See, people aren't going to understand when you say, listen, I'm not going to do that. In fact, the Bible says they're going to wonder at you. They're going to kind of be confused about your life, and they're going to kind of wonder, why don't you jump in with this? I mean, the drink is good. The smoke is good. The feeling is good. And why wouldn't you want something that's good? But you can look back and say, well, listen, that may be good in the natural. That might feel good in the flesh, but that's not God. And therefore, I can't go down that path because it's going to lead me to the wrong place. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, we all want progress, but if you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. In that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive. In other words, we know, don't we? We know when we're on the wrong path. We know when there's something that's grieving and you get that little, I'm not supposed to be going this way, right? But curiosity jumps in. I wonder what that feels like. I wonder what that looks like. I wonder what that tastes like. I wonder, you know, and how many know curiosity killed the cat? You got to turn the cat around, because otherwise you're going down the wrong road, right? You start being led by the flesh. You start being led by the emotions. You start being led by what you've always, well, this is how we've always done it, right? But you know you're on the wrong path. See, repentance is not a dirty word. And repentance is not a one-time thing. Repentance is something that we do as needed. Listen, you may repent once a day, once a week, once every hour if you have to. My goodness. And there have been times where I've just been repenting and say, Lord, no. Lord, I'm just done. Right? Why? Because I realize I'm on the wrong path. Here's what repentance really is, okay? Repentance is I was going this direction and I was following the wrong way. I had my foot on the crooked path. And I realized it. I changed my mind, changed my direction, and said, listen, I'm no longer going to go that way. I turn 180 degrees away from that and I go back God's direction. See, repentance is always towards God. Okay? That's all. That's it. The sooner you repent, the better it will be for you. The sooner you turn from that path, the sooner you're going to get onto the right path. Are you listening today? Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. There in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter number 4, in fact, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, Proverbs 4 contains some of the exact same language that Hebrews chapter number 12 does. Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to take a look at verse number 26 and verse number 27. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. It says, ponder the path of your feet. In other words, think about where you're at and think about where you're going. Don't just float through life and let whatever happens happen. That is not wisdom. We need to think about where we're at and where we're going. Ponder the path of your feet and look at what it says. And let all your ways be established. In other words, established means to be set. Established means it's firmly fixed. That is something that is now grounded. You can't get away from it now. It has been established. So therefore, he says, I want you to think about where you're at, think about where you're going, and let your way be fixed. In other words, I am choosing that I'm going to follow the straight and narrow path that God has outlined for me in his word. I am going to go the direction of God. I'm going to remove my foot from evil, and I'm going to put my foot on the right path that God has for my life. Let your way be established. Let it be fixed. Let it be something that's settled in your heart. I am not going the way of the world. I am not going the way of man. I'm not going the way of, listen, I will not listen to, I will not go for what the words of the people in this world who think that they're wise are. I'm going to go with the wisdom of God. And therefore, I will not listen to the counsel of God. I will not stand in the way of the sinner, nor will I sit in the seat of the scornful. Psalm chapter 1 says, but no, let your way be established. It's fixed. I'm going to go God's direction. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Look at verse number 27. Do not turn to the right or to the left. In other words, stay on the path. It's been established. It's been fixed. So stay going straight with God. And look at what it says. Remove your foot from evil. Get your foot off of the path that's crooked and that leads to destruction, and get yourself onto the straight path. Remove your foot from evil. Second thing is this. Not only remove your foot from evil, but remember God's word. You got to remember God's word. God's word is the roadmap for life. It will not only show you the destination, but it will show you the path how to get there. See, many times we as Christians think that this is all just about eternity. Someday in the sweet by and by, I will be perfected, and then it'll be good. God will wipe away every tear. There will be no more sickness, no more pain, none of that stuff. But listen, do you think God wants you to live a broke down, busted, and disgusted life while you're here on the earth? You think God wants you ineffective and weak? No, we just read that in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, right? God wants us to be strong. God wants us to be healthy. Therefore, God isn't just looking at that as a future experience. God is looking at that as a present reality here and now. God wants you to live a blessed, strong, healthy, adventurous, courageous, effective Christian life. That's the kind of life God wants for you. God doesn't want a bunch of weak and ineffective Christians. Lame, right? God doesn't want that for your life. God wants you to have an amazing life. And therefore, God outlines in his word what life should be like. He shows us exactly the path. He shows us the direction that we should go. It's his roadmap. Now, in order to remember God's word, you're going to have to know it first. It's got mighty quiet in this place. See, but we have a problem in American churches because we don't know the Word of God. You know, part of the Holy Spirit's job description is it says he will remind you of all things which he has spoken. Listen, you got to hear it first for him to remind you of it. Are you listening? I grew up in a church. It was a conservative church, but it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me was that our pastor at that church stood up in front of the congregation and he challenged the entire congregation to read through the entire Bible in 1 year. He said, if you just read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sundays, you'll get through the whole Bible in a year. I took that challenge to heart, and many of our other members of that church did the same thing, and actually ministries came out of that, and things took place that were just wonderful because of that. I devoured the Word of God that year. I went through it 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sundays, and man, if it was a short book, if it was only 4 chapters like Philippians, I just read all the way through. Ended up finishing the Bible in 8 months. I was 15 years old, had just gotten saved, and was just excited about the things of God, and I said, if I'm going to do this, I better know this. And so I dove in. I devoured it. I got all the way to Revelation right at the end, right there, and I read the last word, the amen. I read that amen, and I closed the book, and I waited for something to happen, and I went, wait a second. What did I just read? And so I made it my life's goal, and every year since then, for 21 years now, I have been going through the Word of God year after year, month after month, day after day, just getting the Word of God in my life. See, that's really what changes a life is the Word of God. And that's why now the Word of God can pour out of me is because it's gotten into me. In other words, when you get into the book will get into you. But the Holy Spirit cannot pull something out of you that is not already in you. You have to put it in so that you give God something to work with to get it out. Got to spend some time in the book. Ed Stetzer, he wrote an article for Christianity Today citing a 2015 Lifeway research study that found that only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Over 40% of the people attending read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month, and almost 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never read the Bible. That's essentially the same number of those who read it every day. Church, we've got a problem. Problem is we have Christians who are biblically illiterate. They have no idea who Moses is. They don't know who Noah is. They don't know the stories of Samson. They don't know the story of Jephthah. They don't know what David did. In fact, they started to poll Christians, people who called themselves Christians, in European nations, specifically in England, and they asked them, is the Hunger Games a story from the Bible? And they said, I think so. I think it is. Now, some of us may laugh at that, but listen, guys, that is not funny. That is a crying shame that we would think that something like the Hunger Games, or they also asked if Superman was a story from the Bible, and they said yes. See, we don't know up from down. We don't know right from left. We don't know what the Word of God has to say. And when the deception of the devil comes along, we buy right into it, hook, line, and sinker. And we devour it because we think that that's what it's all about. Listen, this is what it's all about. You got to get the Word of God in you so that when the devil comes knocking and the counterfeit comes up, you say, oh, no, that is not what the Word of God has to say. I understand what the Bible says. so that when life comes up, fear, anxiety, all that kind of stuff doesn't pour out of you. You know what pours out of you? The word of God, which got into you. But God cannot get it out of you if you never put it in. You got to put it in. Pastor Deborah, who's over here on the front row, she talked about that the more you study, the more you put in, it's like a library that the Holy Spirit can access. That when you go through a pain of a trial, the Holy Spirit will go to that volume out of the books that you have put inside of your soul, and he will start to open it up and say, hey, let me remind you of what Jesus talked about when he said that. Hey, let me show this to you. Let me illuminate the word of God. And you can get that rhema word of God, that spoken word of God, that's the exact thing that you need at that moment, at that hour, and that will carry you through every trial and every pain. You got to get the book inside of us. I was taking a hike one day right over here off Mountain View. There's a park called Holder Crooks Park. And back behind that, there's all these different trails and things you can walk up in the Badlands, the hills all back there. Kind of fun. I've gone through there. The first time I went there, I remember I went and I took a picture of the map that's right there at the entrance. And I was glued to that map the whole time I was walking through, because I'd never been back there, so I'm not going to be walking around and just kind of end up wherever, you know, and I still did get lost a little bit, but I had the map, right, so I was able to get back on track. And so I went through there a couple times and kind of had my routine and started to learn the lay of the land, that sort of a thing. And so one day I went in there and I decided, you know what, I've been going the same route a couple times now, I know it pretty good, I want to try something new, and I'd go a different place. And so I decided that I knew it well enough that I didn't need the map to start walking, right? And I know I'm going to go over this direction. I'm going to go head over here, and I know where this point is at, and from there I'll turn right, and I'll go up. I'll find Shotgun Ridge and the Hidden Valley and all this and that. Sounds dreamy, doesn't it, right? Sounds cool. Well, listen, after about a couple hours, I was done. I was like, I don't know where I'm at. I think that's Ritchie Canyon right over there. I started over at Mountain View in Loma Linda. What am I doing over here in Colton? This is crazy. Man, my hips are hurting. My knees are hurting. I don't know which way is right and left. I'm thinking, I'll just go over this ridge and I'll be where I want to be. I'll go over the ridge and find out there's just another ridge or there's a stopping point. What did I do? Why am I here? What did I do this way? I just want to be home, sitting on the couch, eating potato chips with the kids right now. I miss my wife. She's pretty. And this place is ugly. And what am I doing out here, right? I hate it. I didn't ever want to go back again by the time I was done. I was like, I am done. I just don't want to be there. Why? Because I didn't have the map. See, if you try and do life without the map, you're going to end up lost, going to end up alone, going to end up going farther than you want to go, going to end up wearied, going to end up weak and ineffective. Listen, if you walk on the path that God has outlined, Jeremiah cried out to the children of Israel, and he said, stand at the crossroads and ask, where are the ancient paths? Look for what God's word has to say. Find out what God's truth is all about. Psalm 119, verse 49 through 56 in the Message paraphrase. I like the way that it said it in the Message. I'll read it to you. I'll put it up on the overhead so you can follow along, or if you want to follow along in whatever version you have, you can. Listen what it says in Psalm 119, verse 49 through verse 56 in the Message. It says, remember what you said to me, your servant. I hang on to these words for dear life. These words hold me up in bad times. Yes, your promises rejuvenate me. See, when you have the roadmap and when you start to see the direction, when you start to see progress, it starts to add rejuvenation. It starts to encourage you. You start to get strength from that. All of a sudden, you can make it another mile. All of a sudden, you can take it a little bit longer. All of a sudden, you've got the strength that you need to go on. If you hold on to the word of God, goes on and says, the insolent ridicule me without mercy. There will be people that say, oh, you follow the Bible? That's just old, antiquated stuff. That's foolishness. You shouldn't listen to that. We've gone beyond that. Oh my gosh. Our society thinks they've gone beyond. Yeah, they have gone beyond it, and they're about ready to fall off a cliff into hell. They don't even know it. See, the insolent ridicule me without mercy, but look at what he says, but I don't budge from your revelation. Don't ever get off the word of God. Hold on to the words, for they are light. They are life to all who find them. He says, I watch for your ancient landmark words, and I know I'm on the right track. See, we cannot look at the Bible as some antiquated old thing that no longer applies to our life. It applies to every area of our life. But Pastor, wait a second. There's so many new things now. It's not like it was back in Jesus' day. It might have been easy to serve the Lord back then, but they didn't have smartphones. They didn't have social media. Jesus didn't have a Twitter or Facebook account. He didn't have any of the stuff we have to deal with. There's a lot of stress, you know. We got all this new stuff that we have to deal with that none of them had to deal with. It was a lot easier back then. Listen, the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Some of you guys are staring at me right now. And so I think I need to give you an example of this. What's so new that we're dealing with that Jesus didn't have to deal with, right? Let's try one on for size. How about this? Identity theft. How about that one? My wife just dealt with that one recently. It's a pain in our backside. Okay? And it just was a pain and it's stupid. And it's like, why do people do that? Right? So they didn't have to deal with that in Bible times. Oh no. Didn't Jacob steal Esau's identity? Didn't he put on goat skins so that he would feel hairy like his brother? And didn't he put on his clothes so that he would smell like him to his father whose eyes had grown weak? And didn't he go in and cook his daddy some food, some savory food, right? Quickest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And so what did he do? He stole his identity so that he could take his blessing. He'd already had the birthright, now he wanted the blessing, so he stole his identity in order to get... See, there is nothing new under the sun. The Bible deals with it all. Oh, I should have had a big amen on that. The Bible deals with it all. I know this is probably new revelation to some of you guys, but listen, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you are going through, find it here in the Word of God. See how the men and women of God dealt with it. See how God directed their path. See their failures and their pitfalls, but also see their successes and how they overcame. See how God led them. Listen to the words of the Lord and find the ancient landmarks, because as you're traveling in life, you are not going at it alone. You have the greatest guide that there ever was. You have the Holy Spirit who will show you how to read the map. Which brings us to the last thing today is not only remove your foot from evil, not only remember God's word, but you got to receive God's direction. Amen. One thing to know it, quite another thing to do it. This is where the rubber meets the road, you guys. Because there are many people that are not biblically illiterate that know so much about the word of God, yet they're still beat up, still broken, still ineffective. I have the privilege as a pastor to sit with people from time to time, talk about issues in life, give them some guidance out of the word of God. We open up the Bible together and see what God's word has to say. We make an action plan for people to move forward in life. And there are times where I sit with people and they come together and they're, man, we're having problems in our marriage, Pastor. We start talking about it. As we're talking, you know, the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me. And I say, hey, you know what? I heard what you just said right now. And I think that the Bible has something to say about that. And let's open the word of God together. And I start to quote a verse to them and they start to quote the verse with me. Okay, well, let's hear some more about your problem. So we start to talk a little bit more, and as we're going, okay, see that right there? Okay, let's talk about that. Let's chop that up for a second. The Bible says, and I start to quote the verse, and they start to quote the verse with me, and then they quote another verse right afterwards. Okay, well, you know, the Bible also says, and I start to quote a verse, and they quote that verse, and then they quote two more scriptures after that. And they start looking at me like, Pastor, aren't you going to tell me something new? Listen, I don't have anything new to say. All I got is what the Word of God has to say. But if you already know the Word of God, why are you such a mess? Here's why. Because you're not doing it. If we would just get a hold of the Word of God and receive God's direction and start to apply it to our life, then we wouldn't be in the messes that we're in. Why? Because we would not follow the path of just what the world says or what our flesh says or what the society says or the education system says. We would be following God's path. And therefore, we wouldn't end up in the wrong places. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 through verse number 8. Very familiar scriptures, and I would encourage you, if you have not memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, put them to memory. They're great verses. Verses that will guide you. Verses that will give you light and that will give you life. We're going to read all the way through verse number 8 there. Look at what it says. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Most people in American churches that call themselves Christians trust in the Lord with their eternity. But they do not trust in the Lord with their temporary. In other words, God, I will give you my heart and my life for heaven and for eternity, but God, don't touch my money. God, I got this marriage thing worked out. It's fine, God. You just stay out of this. I'll do this. God, I trust you with eternity, but Lord, in business, I gotta do what the business society says, God. I got to go with this direction. I learned about this in school. You know, I got the letters behind my name, which show that I'm smart enough to take care of the God. I got this handled. You can just stay out of my business. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, we think we're so smart. We think we're so wise. We can do this. But listen, isn't that the same problem that we've had since the beginning? Here's Adam and Eve in the garden. God tells them all, not just all of the trees of the garden, you can eat, except this one. They had the whole world available to them. There was nothing that was held back to them. And what do they want? Well, I want that one. Eve's deceived, Adam rebels, and we're in a situation. Why? Because they decided, they saw that the tree was good for food, to make one wise and be like God. But to be like God, apart from God, is pride. And that's the snare of the devil. He will get you in a trap that will cause you to sin and to stumble. See, when we don't take for ourselves, when we lean not on our own understanding, when we don't go to the education system, when we don't go to how our parents did marriage, when we don't go to how the society says we should act towards others, when we start to look at the Word of God and let the Word of God define for us how to live life, then we will be on God's paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What does that look like? That means, God, how do I do this? Hey, God, I'm going into a meeting right now. What would you have me to do? God, not what's just and right between us two, but God, what would be pleasing to you? See, King David had the kingdom. He had it in his hand. He was the king. He could do whatever he wanted. So he decided, I want that one. I want that lady that's married right there. And he went and he slept with her and got her pregnant and decided, well, you know what? In order to cover this up, I'm going to have her husband come in and he'll sleep with her and they'll think it's their kid. They'll think it's their child. Well, that didn't happen. So what does he do? He has the husband murdered and he thinks, you know what? I'm going to do this good. I'm going to do this the right way. And so he takes her to himself and he marries her. And he thinks everything's fine. He thinks everything is okay. He's the king. He can do whatever he wants. And yet the Bible records, but this thing displeased the Lord. See, there's always another person in any transaction of life. It's not just you and me. It's not just me and my neighbor. It's not just me and my family. It's always us and God. Is what we're doing pleasing to the Lord? See, in all your ways acknowledge Him. That means, God, I don't know how to do life. Can you share with me how to do this? Holy Spirit, can you give me some guidance? Can you remind me of what the Word says? Holy Spirit, you know what? I haven't studied this out. Can you direct me to the scriptures that I need for this moment? See, that's what it means. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then when somebody comes and pats you on the back and says, man, you're such a success. You are so wonderful. You're so great. You let it go straight to your head. His name is Jesus. Well, I give God all the glory. You know, God's the one that gave me that idea. God's the one that gave me that way. He's the one that blessed me. Listen, it's not because of my effort. It's because of Him. I just partnered up with the Holy Spirit. And this is where God brought me. Look at verse number 7. Oh, actually, back up in verse number 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. We've been talking about the path to a healthy life. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's where we started, isn't it? Well, how about the rest of the verse? Look what it says. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, every area of your life will be strong and healthy physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, every area of your life. The Word of God will bring strength to you. We can choose the path. We can choose to establish our ways. We can choose to make a straight path for our feet. Our life doesn't have to be lame and weak. In church, if we would start doing this, we would gain some traction. There would be people outside of this place that would look at our lives and say, wow, look at how strong they are. Wow, look at how effective they are. Right now, there's a lot of people look at church and they say, it's lame. A lot of people that look at church and say, they're weak. But man, when we start to get a hold of the Word of God, when we start to establish our path, they will look at our lives and they will be in awe and wonder and they will say, wow, look how strong, look how healthy. I want to have a part of that. That's what this is all about. We can live a strong and healthy life by making pathways to health. How do we do that? First of all is remove our foot from evil. Second of all is remember God's Word. And third of all is receive God's direction. Did you guys get the Word of the Lord today? Come on, let's give God a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.